Damn. He needed someone he could trust, but he hadn't the heart to wake them. He'd pushed everyone very hard the last few days. Something tapped on the door of the kiln. Then the handle started to turn by itself. The door opened as far as it could go, and something half slid and half fell onto the floor. Vimes still wasn't properly awake. Exhaustion and the importunate ghosts of adrenaline sizzled around the edges of his consciousness. But he saw the burning man unfold himself and stand upright. His red-hot body gave little pings as it began to cool. Where it stood, the floor charred and smoked. The golem raised his head and looked around. "You," said Vimes, pointing an unsteady finger, "come with me."
"Yes," said Dorful.
Dragon King of Arms stepped into his library. The dirt of the small high windows and the remnants of the fog made sure there was never more than greyness here, but 100 candles yielded their soft light. He sat down at his desk, pulled a volume towards him and began to write. After a while he stopped and stared ahead of him. There was no sound but the occasional spluttering of a candle.
"Ah, I can smell you, Commander Vimes," he said. "Did the heralds let you in?"
"I found my own way, thank you," said Vimes, stepping out of the shadows. The vampire sniffed again.
"You came alone?"
"Who should I have brought with me?"
"And to what do I owe the pleasure, Sir Samuel?"
"The pleasure is all mine. I'm going to arrest you," said Vimes.
"Oh, dear. For what, may I ask?"
"Can I invite you to notice the arrow in this crossbow?" said Vimes. "No metal on the point, you'll see. It's wood all the way."
"How very considerate."
Dragon King of Arms twinkled at him.
"You still haven't told me what I'm accused of, however."
"To start with, complicity in the murders of Mrs. Flora Easy and the child William Easy."
"I am afraid those names mean nothing to me."
Vimes's finger twitched on the bow's trigger. "No," he said, breathing deeply. "They probably don't. We are making other inquiries, and there may be a number of additional matters. The fact that you were poisoning the patrician, I consider a mitigating circumstance."
"You really intend to prefer charges?"
"I'd prefer violence," said Vimes loudly. "Charges is what I'm going to have to settle for." The vampire leaned back.
"I hear you've been working very hard, Commander," he said. "So I will not..."
"We've got the testimony of Mr. Carey," lied Vimes. "The late Mr. Carey." Dragon's expression changed by not one tiny tremor of muscle.
"I really do not know what you're talking about, Sir Samuel."
"Only someone who could fly could have got into my office."
"I'm afraid you've lost me, sir."
"Mr. Carey was killed tonight," Vimes went on, "by someone who could get out of an alley guarded at both ends. And I know a vampire was in his factory."
"I'm still gamely trying to understand you, Commander," said Dragon King of Arms. "I know nothing about the death of Mr. Carey, and in any case there are a great many vampires in the city. I'm afraid your aversion is well known."
"I don't like to see people treated like cattle," said Vimes. He stared briefly at the volumes piled in the room. "And of course that's what you've always done, isn't it? These are the stock books of Ankh-Morpork." The crossbow swung back towards the vampire, who hadn't moved. "Power over little people, that's what vampires want. The blood is just a way of keeping score. I wonder how much influence you've had over the years."
"A little. You are correct there, at least."
"A person of breeding," said Vimes. "Good grief. Well, I think people wanted Vetinari out of the way, but not dead yet. Too many things had happened too fast if he were dead."
"Is Nobby really an earl?" "The evidence suggests so."
"But it's your evidence, right? You see, I don't think he's got noble blood in him. Nobby's as common as muck. It's one..."